So, Hare Krishna, welcome to the second part of the Nrisimha Katha. It's actually very nice to chant the glories of Lord Nrisimhadev and to, on his appearance day here in Germany. We were discussing how it so happened that Hiranyakashipu became a sworn enemy of Vishnu. I think you remember Hiranyakashipu's brother, his name was Hiranyaksha, was killed by Varaha, and when he was killed, Hiranyakashipu knew that this is the Almighty Vishnu who had done this, and he actually cursed Lord Vishnu. I will personally kill you for this. This was too much. You shouldn't. Now you will get to know the power of Hiranyakashipu. What he did is, he told his associates to terrorize the universe, but he himself went to a mountain called the Mandara Mountain and performed for 100 collective years very strong austerities in order to gain power. In fact, he was so strong in his determination that towards the end of his performance, a fire came from his highest chakra, the Brahmanda chakra, which began to heat up and scorch the whole universe. It became actually intolerable to live in the universe. Just imagine that one of the flames which we put up here would have increased in size and finally would have licked the ceiling of the temple room. Imagine how the heat would become stronger and stronger until finally you would have to run for shelter into the cold Bavarian forest. This was how the mystic fire on top of Hiranyakashipu increased in size and heat. But there was no place for the demigods to go. Instead, they turned towards Brahma and said, "Can you come down and somehow stop this Hiranyakashipu? He must have something in mind, a desire." So Lord Brahma came down to the Mandara hills, made him, but he didn't see any Hiranyakashipu. What he saw, or whom he saw, was an ant hill. And from the anthill, the fire was coming out and was scorching. He knew it's Hiranyakashipu who is in the anthill. So he also shook his head in amazement, because that demon had stood there on one leg. The ants had come, and they ate all the flesh from his body, his muscles, his stomach, his everything. It was just eaten away. But Hiranyakashipu would not die. He was so determined that nothing could stop his life. I know from history that there was a mystical monk in Russia once, Mr. Rasputin, and he was very strong. He did not sleep any longer, and he just had sexual intercourse with all the aristocratic ladies on the of the palace, and you wouldn't see in the morning that he had just drunken alcohol and led a very excessive life in the night. He would just be there and look totally normal. Later, there was an attempt to assassinate him, but people could not take his head off his shoulders. He was somehow protected in a mysterious way. So Brahma saw this Hiranyakashipu is such a demon. He is so strong with his demoniac mind that no one and nothing can kill him, actually. He was worried. So he decided to come to Hiranyakashipu, stop his austerity, and he immediately put some drops of Amrita from his nectarian kamandalu, it's a pot which Brahma carries, to revive the body. And the moment the drops of Amrita fell on the skeleton of Hiranyakashipu, the meat of the body came back, the muscles, the ligaments, the eyes. Everything had been eaten away by ants. And there he was, Mr. Demon. Brahma said, "What do you want? Why do you do this austerity?" Hiranyakashipu said, "I want a blessing." Brahma said, "What is the blessing which you want?" "I want to become immortal." Brahma said, "Oh God. I will only stop if you give me the blessings to become immortal, otherwise I will continue, and then good night for the universe." Brahma said, I can't give you immortality. I myself am a mortal being." "Okay," said Hiranyakashipu, "then give me the blessing that I will not be killed by any creature, man, animal, or ghost." Brahma said, "Tatastu, may it be so. Give me the blessing that I will not be killed either outside or inside." "Tatastu, may that be so." "Hare Krishna, welcome, welcome. Give me the blessing that I will not be killed neither on the sky, the land, or in water." "May it be so." "Give me the blessing that I will not be killed by any weapon." "May this be so." "Give me the benefit..." "I think now I'm eternal," said Hiranyakashipu. "I don't want to be killed either in the day or in the night." "Tatastu," said Brahma, "may it be so." "I have tricked you. Now I'm eternal," said Hiranyakashipu. He got the 8 cities, mystical perfection, and got control and authority over anyone, and he became the proprietor of the whole universe, including the heavenly world. He was, in other words, the true universal demon. All the devatas became his humble servants. Only Brahma, Vishnu, who's outside of this category, and Lord Shiva could maintain their independence. Hiranyakashipu had lived a life of austerities, but now he went into the business of the demons. What do demons do? What? Disturb. That's true. They enjoy like anything. Yes. You have correctly analyzed the demonic mentality. They enjoy like anything. He was constantly smelling from very strong liquors, like alcohol, the whiskey, you know, everything in the world he was drinking. And he was very, very, very powerful. He ordered that there would always be a nice temperature in his kingdom. The seasonal deities had to do it. Then there were, he ordered the ocean to give forth its jewels. So the waves came with jewels on the coast to surrender to Hiranyakashipu. In other words, the whole universe was shaking in fear. He just needed to raise his eyebrow like this, and already the devata, oh, bitch, maybe we have done something wrong, and soon we will get a heavy punishment from Hiranyakashipu. You cannot describe it. He controlled the whole universe, but there was one thing which he could not control, and that were his own senses and his mind. And therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had everything you can imagine, because his senses and mind remained uncontrolled and very strong, he still remained dissatisfied. When you have uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses, that maybe you know, then you are always dissatisfied, especially in, as devotees, I think we know, when our mind is uncontrolled, every moment we have to ask, how are you now? Because the mind could, in any moment, go out of control and create harm to us. Finally, Hiranyakashipu's regime became so bad that the saints prayed to Vishnu. The saints, by the way, had to live in very lonely places where the palace of Hiranyakashipu could not find them, because the saints were forbidden to perform yajñas and say prayers. If any policeman or spy would find you chant Hare Krishna, you would be reported and you would be brought into the large prison of Hiranyakashipu, and you would meet only sadhus there. Imagine this. Well, please imagine this. You would just say one Hare Krishna, and if someone would report you, that would be the end of your happy Hare Krishna chanting. So, the saints prayed secretly to Vishnu. Vishnu, do something. You have promised that you would come to set up the principles of Dharma whenever irreligiosity would take over. You have promised to protect your devotees. Where are you now? At this moment, the saints heard a voice from the sky. I am waiting. Very soon I will come. As soon as Hiranyakashipu offends sufficiently my devotee, I will come. Now you must know that Hiranyakashipu had four sons. One of them was very extraordinary. This little boy did not play. He only sat under a tree and meditated. I will just remind my audience, Madhavananda, jetzt kommt was so Spannendes, du musst dich hinstellen, um das mitzukriegen. Prahlad, when someone was looking for Prahlad, he could only be found under a tree, meditating in deep absorption. Sometimes Prahlad Maharaj would go to a lonely temple and lie down for a whole day and pray in Dandavat. He would not get up. And sometimes Prahlad Maharaj would sit and all of a sudden interrupt his meditation to happily dance, because he would see the Lord coming from one direction towards him and then disappear again. Prahlad, this was the name of this boy, saw sometimes the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to train him and deprogram him. He got the powerful teachers Sanda and Amaka to become his personal teachers. Do you know who Sanda and Amaka are? They're the sons of Shukracharya. Who is Shukracharya? Yeah, he's not very spiritual, but he's the Acharya, the teacher of the demons. So his two sons, Sanda and Amaka, very intelligent demons, became the teachers. One day it so happened that Hiranyakashipu felt very, very fatherly. He saw Prahlad look so sweet. He took him on his lap and said to him, "Prahlad, what's the best thing you have ever learned in school? Tell your father." He expected an answer like, "Well, we have now ruled the whole universe. There is no state outside of our control. That means we can eat all the apples which we want, because they are our apples." He expected such a childish answer. But instead, Prahlad Maharaj said to Hiranyakashipu, "O best of the demons." Now, this was a great flattery. Yes, you have certainly told the right thing. "O best of the demons, people with uncontrolled senses like you can never be happy. You have fallen into the dark well of the householder life, and you should immediately climb out of this well. Go to a sacred forest like Vrindavan and engage in devotional service. That is what I have learned." "What have you learned?" "This sounds like the philosophy of the Vaishnavas." Get Sanda and Amaka immediately. So they got Sanda and Amaka, and Hiranyakashipu said, "You fools, you have allowed Vaishnavas to conduct the Unterricht, the classroom sessions. My little boy, innocent boy, is talking demoniac philosophy." See, the demons have everything the upside down. They have a distorted picture. "My innocent little boy, who could not protect himself against these dangerous teachings of the Vaishnavas, has been spoiled." And he cried tears of compassion for Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, like, "Take him off and please, and deprogram him. Otherwise, we will kill you, Sanda and Amaka." So, the question is, now, after some time, Hiranyakashipu again asked Prahlad Maharaj to come and interview him to see if maybe his Erziehung, his deprogrammation was successful. He asked, "What have you learned, please?" The mother of Prahlad had decorated Prahlad very nicely with golden ornaments, with a nice crown and nice dress. And when Hiranyakashipu saw his little boy, he took him on his leg, smelled affectionately his head, while tears of fatherly love fell down from his cheeks. He said, "Now tell your father, now tell your Pita what you have learned." Prahlad Maharaj said, "The best thing I have learned, father, is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnus. Hear about Vishnu, praise Vishnu, and meditate about him, father. And I've learned 6 other devotional practices. I'm so happy. This is my fundus of knowledge." Hiranyakashipu went like, "Ax!" And just, "You are too much! You are a disturbance to your father and the whole kingdom." And he, Bhatsate means he threw him on the ground, like you threw away someone who is very, very bad. And he said, "How is it possible? But this boy comes from my semen. He comes from my body. He should be like a herb which has grown in the forest, or a beautiful strong limb on the body. But he is a poisonous plant. And he is a rotten, pussy limb. I have to cut him off." When the body is diseased, even though it is your hand, you cut the diseased hand off. Otherwise, there is a problem to the whole dynasty. Put him into prison. I will kill him after I have thought a little bit how I will kill him. Now, the question is, we will leave this family drama for a moment, and we will ask the question, from where did Prahlad Maharaj learn all of this? What was his source of information? Now, if you go deep into the history, you will arrive at the name Narada Muni, the universal preacher, who has preached to the strongest Vaishnavas in our tradition. When Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities in the Mandara Mountains and developed this demoniac Shakti, the demigods had gone to his wife, had gone to his kingdom and had conquered his kingdom. And they had gone also to his wife, who was pregnant. She was carrying the son of Hiranyakashipu under her heart. But the demigods thought, "We will capture this woman and we will wait until she has given birth to the child." They did not think about what modern people would think, that is, get her on the operation table and perform an abortion. This didn't cross their mind. They wanted to make sure, they wanted to bring her somewhere and wait until she would give birth, and then immediately kill this sinful person who might destroy the whole universe. That was their calculation. Now, Narada, as they were just taking, I believe her name was Kayadhu. Is it correct? Hiranyakashipu's wife. As they were just taking her and bringing her out of the palace, Narada Muni arrived on the spot and said, I know that you are afraid of the son which she carries, and I know that you wish to kill him once he is born, but I must tell you, you are in a great illusion about this boy. This boy will be the greatest saint, and millions of devotees in the coming millenniums will chant his praise. His name will be Prahlad. Give this woman to me, and I will start to instruct Prahlad already. The demigods had great faith in Narada Muni, and they brought the mother. They gave her to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni was training her in his ashram. He was preaching to the boy, really, because the woman was very distraught. She thought of her husband, and now she was living in the ashram. She felt very well. She felt it's good also in my pregnancy to have some peace. But there were so many unresolved questions. When would Hiranyakashipu come home? When would this political thing be resolved? The demigods had conquered the kingdom. And also, she was worried, and therefore she did not listen so well to the instructions of Narada Muni. But Prahlad, who was in the womb of that lady, was listening to every word of and he remembered the words. You will be very interested to hear that now in modern science, people know, the scientists know, Tridasha Roy, if you wish, you can also join Madhavananda, because you are also sleeping. But now something very interesting comes. There was an experiment performed which actually showed that the child in the womb remembers the songs and the sound which he had heard when he was still an infant. There was a woman who listened to Beatle music while she was pregnant. You know, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. Help, I need somebody to help. And all these evergreens. And then, after listening for only 2 months to that music, she stopped listening to that particular music, but listened to something else. Now, when the baby was born, they played Beatle music. She loves you, yeah, 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 and such songs. To the child, showed clear symptoms of knowing the song. The child knew, yeah, 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 and was highly enthusiastic. I'm hearing the song of my childhood, of my early childhood. This is very good. He felt very encouraged, the child, in his life. Therefore, in Vaishnava situations, when the child is still in the womb, the mother should be very careful to give good spiritual sound vibration to the child. And it's very good if a Brahmana Vaishnav can be found who recites the poetry of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the wonderful story of the Lord, to the little child who's in the womb. The child will hear that divine sound vibration and feel peaceful and get a Krishna conscious impression. Please, all of you who are women and all of you who plan to become fathers, men who plan to become fathers, do not I don't want to say, how do we say, do not oversee this. Don't forget is the word, to give the Srimad Bhagavatam to your little child, and you will see The child will remember and become a good devotee by this. So, this is how Prahlad knew. And when he had heard, when he was going to school, he was preaching what he had heard Narada Muni preach to him. He was preaching the Bhagavatam and so on. Whenever the teachers were out of the classroom, he would go in front and say, "Let's do a kirtan now." Goloka Prabhu is already getting into the mood. This is dynamis doch Goloka. Nee, es Gokula, Entschuldigung. Gokula, wenn deine Lehrer aus der Schule sind, aus dem Klassenraum sind oder Goranga, solltet ihr euch Kartels nehmen und dann geht's ab. Nicht? Dann wird der Kirtan angemacht. Yes, yes, yes. When I was still in school, I did such a thing. I organized a big kirtan in our school. I thought I'm duty bound. They have given me good education, some English, and it was really the only good thing I learned. And I'm duty bound now to give them the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, and invited devotees, and we made a school program in the big school hall where everyone was requested to chant, and they did it. All my friends and also my music teacher, Mr. Thompson, all chanted Hare Krishna. And then I said after this, "So, goodbye now. I'm becoming a monk. You can continue your studies. I'm not convinced that this is valuable in life." Hare Krishna. So, Hiranyakashipu, let us return back, felt very, very disturbed. He knew he had two times heard from his son Vaishnav philosophy, and now he knew, "I have to do something. The only thing I can do is, because I cannot break his will, I must kill him." The first thing he tried is, he brought wild elephants who had drunken alcohol and were totally drunk, and he had the elephant keepers chase these elephants to where Prahlad was sitting and meditating. "Gorari, please give me a glass of water for drinking." Yes. But the elephants, when they approached Prahlad Maharaj, could not come closer. There was a wall of protection around Prahlad Maharaj, which prevented the elephants to step on Prahlad. First assassination program was a failure. So Hiranyakashipu said, "Well, then let us throw him to the snakes, the poisonous snakes." Do you know that cobras are so poisonous? Jayapataka Maharaj has told us. Once, during the British time, there was a British railway worker who helped to make a railway through India, and he found a little nest of cobras who had just hatched from the eggs. So the railway worker looked at one of the little cobras. It was just like this, like a little rainworm. "Oh, so sweet." When he had said "so sweet," the cobra, the little cobra, jumped, bit him in the lip, and he immediately died. This is how poisonous the cobras are. Hari Bol. This is very poisonous. So Hiranyakashipu had kept for some people the most deadly cobras, and he now arranged that his son was thrown into the cobra. But the cobras became totally charmed. Here is a Mahabhagavata. Let us hear from him. And they went around him very peacefully, had association with him. Please, you chant, you enlighten us. And the cobras were listening to Prahlad Maharaj, who had closed his eyes and was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They couldn't do harm. Then he put them into a storm, a typhoon, and he threw him into the ocean. Finally, he had his men carry Prahlad Maharaj on the top of a mountain. He was thrown down. You can still visit this mountain in Ahobilam, from where Prahlad was thrown down. Prahlad Maharaj was chanting while he was falling. He must have been extremely absorbed in meditation. He was not thinking this is so much a disturbance. He thought, my father is joking with me. Because after all, he is my father. He cannot wish me any harm. It must be joke. Some rough play, maybe. So he continued as usual. But Vishnu could not tolerate it. On the foot of the mountain, you can see a little deity of Narsingha Varaha. Krodha Varaha Narsingha is his name, who at that time came up and captured him on his nose, on his snout, and carried him. Prahlad was in ecstasy. His Lord carried him. How wonderful, how endearing this story is. Finally, Hiranyakashipu put him into boiling oil, but the oil evaporated. Have you ever been in boiling oil? Even if you come close, if a spritzer touches your skin, you are burnt immediately. We have some accidents in our Hare Krishna kitchen where devotees have been burnt by the boiling ghee. It is a very terrible death. Finally, after trying so many things, I won't go through all the list, Hiranyakashipu understood, I can't kill him. He looked on the ground. I can control everyone, even Indra, but this little boy is stronger than me? I mean, how is this possible? He's only a little boy. Someone, please, give an answer to this. He called Sanda and Amaka and said, please, you have one last chance. Give him a proper education. Brainwash him. And please know, I will kill you if you don't become successful. This boy is too much. So Sanda and Amaka, they sat down with Prahlad for a serious talk. Just why are you a disturbance to your father? He has begotten you. He has done everything for you. He loves you dearly. Why are you so demoniac? Fariba is shocked. What is wrong with you? Haven't we not given you the best education? Why do you always talk about the greatest enemy of your father? Don't you know that he has killed your uncle shamelessly? What is wrong? You side with the greatest enemy of your family. You must be psychologically totally deranged. We cannot understand you, boy. Now, we will come in a little while and give you some teaching. The moment they were out, Prahlad said, come, listen to something very important. He said to his boyfriends, you must immediately start the path of spiritual life. Otherwise, your life gets wasted. Don't you see how totally illusioned these people are who train you? These were all princes, sons of kings, and so on. And they said, Prahlaji, we love you. But, you know, we will take care of spiritual life later when we are old. Now let us play. Play? Said Prahlad Maharaj. Just make a little calculation. We have absolutely no time for spiritual life. It's extremely urgent. Now listen to this, Madhavananda. Please listen to this. This will change your life, what you will hear now. He said, 40 years out of 100, we are engaged in sleeping. You just sleep. Sit there or lie down there. Or when there's a lecture, we sit and we sleep in the lecture. 40 years are immediately wasted, gone. We can't make anything out of this. Then the first 10 years of our lives, we are totally useless because we only are bewildered. We are little children. The next 10 years, that is from 10 to 20, we are engaged in playing. Now the last 20 years which we have in our lives, we are plagued by invalidity. Do you know what is invalidity? It's when you get old and one tooth begins to shake a little. When you have problems to digest, when you can't walk, you can't dance. My dear devotees, I know you are all young, maybe the oldest amongst us is, I don't know, you are not so old. Maybe you are above 50 a little bit? More? Above 60?
Yes.
Oh, approaching 70? Not yet. One day you will approach. Yes. We all approach 70, but I know in language we say, you have lived a very pious life. I can see, you can look at our devotee. He's longer in Krishna consciousness than all of you. He's been visiting the temple so many years. The good wife is also there. They lived a very pious life. They are born into this tradition. So their old age will not be as bad as our old age. But I'm starting now to feel what is invalidity. The body is just not working so well any longer. It starts all of a sudden. You turn 50 or something, and then, pang, you feel, and you can't get up as easily as you were used to get up, because your body is just exhausted. It's just you went over the. So many people run to the doctors. They can't do anything strenuous. No good sadhana. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, in between you are a grihastha, and when you are a grihastha, all you want is money. You know, you not all, but you worry for money. How can we get the rent for our apartment? You may think, no, this will not happen to us. But grihastas, ask our grihastas. they really have to struggle for the novats. Novats means money. Where's the novats? Where's the novats? Where's the novats? That is what they constantly think. So Prahlad said, tell me, think very deeply. You have no time. This time is now the best time. You have time to play. Just play is not so important. Now get into Krishna consciousness. Say after me, Hare Krishna. The children bows at the children. Hare Krishna. And he started a kirtan. And Sanda and Amaka heard this. What is this? Some strangers have invaded our school. Now we will get them. And what did they say? The boys were chanting, Hare Krishna. It's Prahlad who is destroying everyone. Oh no, this person is too much. They asked him, tell us, where did you learn all this knowledge? Do you know what Prahlad Maharaj said? He said the truth. Remember what was the source of his knowledge? Narada Muni's instructions were the source of his knowledge. Gaurahari has properly reminded all of us. Sanda and Anatta were Sanda and Amarka were totally arranged and brought him one last time to Hiranyakashipu and told him how the poor Prahlad Maharaj had been totally contaminated. Now I will now go into another leela, another episode which is in one of the Puranas. And I want to tell it very, very much. You will not believe your ears. Hiranyakashipu had actually in his kingdom a stadium where he was glorified. Hiranyakashipu Kijay, he's the greatest, he's the most intelligent, he knows the Vedas the best, he's, and so on. This stadium of glorification was as big as the country Germany is. And I'm counting now West and the previous East Germany together. It's now one Germany. He had a stadium like this. And believe it or not, he had different arrangements in this stadium. You could be in the stadium and, for instance, go into different sections where you would see interesting movies, like a cinema, of different parts of the universe. You could also go into other areas if you were a man, and there were very beautiful women who were fulfilling all your romantic desires. You could go into another section. Let us say you were a woman and you wanted to do something for your body, some wellness creams and so on. You would be treated free of cost with the best creams. You would be requested to go in honey and lie in honey, which is very healthy for the body. You might like to experience this honey bath. It's very nice, and your tongue becomes extremely beautiful afterwards. It was specially made honey for this, and he had all different types of sense enjoyment, because he knew, if I want to keep my citizens peaceful and loyal to me, I just give them sense gratification. This is what is going on in modern governments also. They know we give the people the one-eyed guru, that is the television set, and they will look from morning till evening in there and see interesting things. And then they will have in the shops alcohol, where they can get totally intoxicated. And then they can work for this, and then there are touristic places where they can go and lie in the sun and try to be peaceful and so on. That's why monks or also the Hare Krishna people are sometimes not so much liked by government, because they don't take part in the sense enjoyment and therefore remain independent. No? And they don't feel any necessity to work hard, to spend money on their senses. So Hiranyakashipu had this huge stadium, and I believe once a year, it was during his birthday or at another important time in his life, he had the whole state worshipping him. You will be interested to know that this was also done in old Yugoslavia. Tito, I believe, Mr. Tito, was also worshipped at his birthday day, usually in Belgrade, in a stadium. A huge cake was brought. It's not a new invention. Hiranyakashipu did it all before. Everyone praised him, and then Prahlad was brought. Oh, Hiranyakashipu fell, my rascal son. He said to Prahlad, "Praise me, please. It's my day. Praise me, please. Please praise me. Say something good about your father and the public, won't you?" How do we look as a family if you say all these crazy things? Prahlad Maharaj said, "Father, because you cannot control your mind and your senses, you are always dissatisfied. That's all I can say about you." Okay, you wanted it. Tell me one last thing before I kill you. Who gives you the strength to defy my authority? Please tell me. The same person who gives you the strength to go against his authority, Krishna. Hiranyakashipu exploded in a rage. He said, "My dear boy, I have to kill you publicly before everyone." You know, the whole stadium was full. "Oh no. I will give your god up till 6 o'clock in the evening to appear and save you. 6 o'clock, I will kill you." So, this was something. A serious challenge. It became later and later. I don't know where they kept Prahlad Maharaj was brought on the stage. His father was there with an open sword. He waited. 6:10 has passed already. At that time, a mysterious being, half man, half lion, was seen in the city. He was not walking in the city of the demons, but flying above the ground. He was coming to the entrance of the stadium. Hiranyakashipu was informed, a mysterious being has arrived. How does he look? He looks like an animal, but like a human being. Emperor, tell him no animals are allowed in the stadium. The guard said, "Whoever you are," they couldn't even look at him. "You are, the order is, don't come in, please. You are an animal, no animals are allowed." The being just laughed. "Ha It was so loud. The gods heard it. And it became louder and louder and louder until the eardrums burst. The being just flew inside. The moment Hiranyakashipu saw the being, he knew it's him. And he has come to kill me. So he immediately got all his air force ready, and they went in full attack. At this moment, the being became clearly visible. A beautiful form, half lion, half man. And he saw the air force, and he just went like, whoop, 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 and just like you take a piece of paper. Imagine this is a Viman with a few atom bombs coming towards Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev went, he smiled at the foolishness. Then they brought all their bombs ready. One was the skeleton bomb, which looked like a skeleton. And when it went to the hair of Lord Nrisimhadev, it just went like, you know, like these mosquitoes who get this, there's this electronic mosquito killing instrument. They come close. And then Lord Nrisimhadev flew on the stage. It was a stage which had, you know, 500 meters long. Hiranyakashipu made sure he would be glorified. Lord Nrisimhadev went and began to fight with the demon. The demon just fought with all his skills. Sometimes he was invisible. And he went up in the sky. He took his sword, and then invisibly he just went, you know, he flew and attacked. Now I got you. Shingadev made a ping. Then he again attacked, and they fought and fought and fought until finally Nrisimhadev took him on his lap and looked. All of a sudden, he got so ecstatic, Nrisimhadev. This is the father of Prahlad Maharaj. Wonderful. He's related to my devotees. And he looked at him so merciful. And when he looked so mercifully at him, Hiranyakashipu just melted in ecstasy. All his sins went away. Then he died in ecstasy, looking into the face of the Lord, and was liberated from his sinful existence. Then Hiranyakashipu took the dead Nrisimhadev took the dead body and went like, took all the intestines out, put them as a garland, as a future warning, don't disturb my devotees, demons. I'm telling you this now, like it is told in some narrations, in some Puranas, but I want to go back to the Bhagavatam line, because after all, it is the Bhagavatam which we follow, but since you have heard it so many times, I thought I would abbreviated. When Hiranyakashipu in the Bhagavatam fights with Nrisimhadev, Nrisimhadev brings him to the doorsteps, which are neither inside nor outside. He comes when the evening sun sets, which is neither day nor night, and he takes his nails, which are not a weapon, to kill him. He also doesn't put him in the air, doesn't kill him in the air, nor does he kill him on the land. He kills him, and also not in water, he kills him on his lap. And in this way, Lord Nrsimhadev is more intelligent than any of the demoniac demons who try to make arrangements to avoid his just punishment. Afterwards, the demon armies attacked, but they were just like mosquitoes against a powerful lion. They were all also liberated. At that moment, the demigods were so pleased that they showered flowers over Hiranyakashipu's dead body. They showered flowers more so over Lord Nrsimhadev. Then the demigod said, we have to do something to make him peaceful. He's still there. Lord Nrsimhadev was there, and he was Nrsimhadev was there. I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up. And he was so much into the rage that finally the demigod said, we have to make him peaceful. And how they made him peaceful, that we will tell in the evening. Hare Krishna.